Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date at your own pace with your local and regional news. Today, as we wrap up the week, we'll learn about foster grandparents in central Pennsylvania, visit a new candy factory in Lackawanna County, and cat lovers, stick around for Haley's happy hour. There's a cat show coming to Luzerne County this weekend. It's finally Friday, March 28th. Let's get you up to date. First, let's indulge your sweet tooth a little bit. An iconic hard candy mounted to a plastic band is once again rolling off production lines in Lackawanna County. Bazooka Brands officially opened its new Ring Pop factory in Moosic on Thursday. WVIA's Kat Bolus watched the sugary stones transform into candy rings.
Over the last 6 months, an intricate network of piping was moved from Scranton to Moosic. It pumps sugar, corn syrup, flavor, and color down into diamond-shaped molds. The candy concoction comes out hot. It spends about 7 minutes in a cooling tunnel to harden. The candy stones taste like strawberry or rainbow sorbet. They are attached to a plastic band in a variety of colors and wrapped in a plastic label. The Ring Pop factory on Poplar Street in Scranton had structural issues. Here's CEO Tony Jacobs.
It put our business at risk. It put one of the most iconic confectionery products in the United States at risk.
Jacobs worried that finding a new factory could take years, but the team had a new location in just weeks, and they stayed in Northeast Pennsylvania.
We have been here for over 40 years and beyond that. It is an area that is incredibly supportive.
They made millions of pops in Scranton. Now they'll almost double that production, and there's room to grow. John Ellis was the first person to cook a Ring Pop in the late 70s. They were made at the time in Duryea.
This is the first time anybody ever had something like this for the company. This is wonderful.
He says the new factory is a dream come true. Reporting from Moosic, I'm Kat Bolus, WVIA News.
Well, now I'm definitely craving some candy. You can find more of this story, including photos from the new factory at WVIA.org. And now it's time for Community Connections, Classical host Lisa Mazzarella's weekly look at one of the many nonprofits at work in our region. She's in central Pennsylvania this week. Here's more.
Our Community Connection is in central Pennsylvania this week, where Sarah Long, director of the Foster Grandparents Program, says being retired is a prerequisite for seniors to head back to the classroom to teach.
Our program is the Foster Grandparent Program of Central PA. We're sponsored by the Union-Snyder Agency on Aging. Our program is actually one of the oldest in the country. We're going into our 59th year, so we've been in the area a very long time. And our funding comes from a federal grant from AmeriCorps Seniors. And our mission is to place seniors that enjoy working with children into classroom settings to serve as tutors and mentors.
Generations of children have had an opportunity to take advantage of this program.
I'm actually one of the children that benefited from the program, so I've been a fan from sixth grade.
Wow, tell us your story.
Well, in sixth grade, I was shy and quiet and just needed a friend, and my friend happened to be my foster grandparent, Grandma Jenny. She made me feel special and loved, and she's just a positive influence in my life, so I was thankful for the program from that day, and I feel very thankful to get to work there now and represent some awesome seniors.
What are the prerequisites to get involved in the program?
Foster grandparents, first off, need to love working with children. They need to be 55 years or older before they're even brought into the program. They have to pass 4 different clearances, and then we do some pre-service orientation and observation, so they really get the feel of the program, they know the rules, they get out there and see what other grandparents are doing and what our expectations are of how they should be interacting with the children.
Many people who maybe have just retired, they still have a lot to give.
The stories that we hear are that it gives the volunteers a purpose. They'll work with children one-on-one, tutoring in spelling, reading, math. Sometimes it's just being there for that student that's having a rough day. Any way they can help to be a support and a positive role model, that's what they're there for. They're there for all the love and encouragement that the kids need.
How does this wonderful interaction between an older person and someone going to school, elementary school, how does it affect the child and how does it impact the grandfather or grandmother?
Especially the children, our coordinators in the program go out monthly to do home visits, and they'll visit with a grandparent and they'll see them interacting with the children. Every time they go, they're seeing the same kids, the same things that they're working on, and the progress that they're making. And when a grandparent celebrates them, that's what keeps the kids going. It keeps the grandparents going because they're seeing their actions directly have an impact. On the grandparent side of it, they feel special because of the children and the classrooms and the bonds that they have there. Kids will come back to that grandparent year after year. It's an amazing bond, and the grandparents cherish that. They look at them as their own grandkids in a lot of cases.
What do the kids teach the grandparents?
Kids will teach the grandparents how to use new technology that they might not be familiar with. There's this one grandpa that we had. He shared a story where he had a student who didn't speak English at all, and they came into the classroom and they weren't really able to interact. So this grandparent and the student worked together on a book that was written in English and also in Spanish. The grandparent would read the Spanish version to the student and have the student teach him Spanish. Then the student would do the English version, so back and forth. And by the end of the year, again, that student could read at the second grade level. That progress and that effort that he put in, it just shows that he has something to contribute to our community, to the children, and it's just a direct result. I've seen it from so many different aspects. Every day I love going to work. What more could you ask for?
A great conversation with Sarah Long, director of the Foster Grandparents Program in Central Pennsylvania. Hear more of the conversation on our podcast, wvia.org/communityconnection. I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
More up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuis from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
And we're back. All right, cat lovers, listen up. It's time for Haley's Happy Hour. This week, my culture-loving colleague Haley O'Brien chats with a cat enthusiast who organized NEPA's first cat show in 30 years. It's happening this weekend in Luzerne County. Take it away, Haley.
This weekend in the Wilkes-Barre area is a fabulous feline festival. I'm joined today by Albert Schweitzer, leader of the Feel and Find Feline 4-H Club. Thanks for being here with me today.
Well, thank you so much.
So tell me, what is this fabulous feline festival going to be like?
Well, the Fabulous Feline Festival is a CFA cat show, so that's the Cat Fanciers Association cat show. They go in four different categories in the breed competition. So you have your championship cats, and it'll be all breed or specialty. So specialty is long hairs or short hairs. And then we have kitten, which is also all breed or specialty. And then we have premiership. Premiership is cats that are allowed to be shown that have to be a registered pedigree cat that have been spay or neutered. And then our fourth division is actually the household pet. So this means cats that have come off the street, cats that you might have adopted, as long as they are amicable to handling, they're eligible. The other category we have is cat agility. Other contests that we have for the spectators, if they want to bring their kids on Saturday, we have a stuffed animal contest free of charge. And they get awards. They can bring their special little friend and get awards. We also have a costume contest. That's for exhibitors. Cats are dressed up in costumes.
Oh.
At first, I thought it was really silly, but it is really funny. Like, yeah. Some of the cats love it.
Okay.
We have different programs. There will be breed presentations. So people that volunteer their cats to come up to the ring, and then we have a person that'll speak about that breed and what their characteristics are. So if you're looking for a pedigree cat, at least you have an idea of, is it too energetic for your family? Which is a smart way to do it. Or if you're interested in showing cats. I always recommend people to to go to a cat show first before you, you know, delve into it. Because it, at first it could be all really expensive.
And I'm sure you know about that. Tell me about your cats. They'll be shown this weekend?
I have four or five pedigree cats, exotic short hairs and Persians. And I also have two household pets that I'm not showing, but I let my 4-H kids show them.
Great. So this is not only a cool community event, but you've been working for quite a while to create opportunities for young people to learn about cats and caring for them and showing them.
Yep.
Very cool.
Thanks.
Will there be like food vendors and other things like that?
We actually have food vendors. It's the 4-H parents. It's basically a fundraiser for the 4-H kids to go on and do other things. You know, through fundraising throughout the year, they were able to help put the show on. It's 30 years since we've had a cat show here, and I wanted to help bring it back.
The Fabulous Feline Festival is Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Rock Rec Sports Complex in Trucksville.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This has been Haley's Happy Hour.
My only question now is if it's too late for my cats to enter the show. Also happening this weekend, Dancing Stars of Wilkes-Barre, a walking club in Scranton, and more. Find the details at wvia.org/eventful. All right, I certainly hope you're feeling up to date and ready to take on the weekend. We'll be back on Monday, but the news doesn't stop at wvia.org. Stay tuned there or on the WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me this week. Remember, if you want to keep hearing from me and the rest of the WVIA news team, go ahead and subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts, or stream anytime at wvia.org. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you Monday, right here on Up to Date.